Glory! Turn to Psalm 103. One hand up, the other hand turns to Psalm 103. Oh, praise be to God. It's a great day to die to yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 103. Is everybody there? Praise God, Rick's there. Let's speak this together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now understand, this is very powerful because he says, bless the Lord, all my soul. Now your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination. He says, bless it. Cause that to bless him. How can we bless the Lord? Praise him. Amen. You bless him by praising him. You bless him by what comes out of your mouth. I bless the Lord. You can't think the bless. You got to speak the bless. Amen. You can write all the bless, but you ain't blessed. You have to speak the bless. Because what you sow out of the mouth is what you eat, and that's what you reap. Amen. So we bless the Lord, all my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. And he says, don't forget the benefits. Why? Because there are benefits of blessing the Lord. Why? Because when you bless the Lord, something begins to happen. You enter the Spirit. You enter another realm. And as you begin to enter another realm, he says, listen, here's my benefits. Now, God's got wonderful benefits. He says, verse 3, who forgives all your what? Iniquities. He forgives you. Why? Because as you begin to enter the other realm, one of the things that begins to happen is conviction comes. Other things come up that you realize that you didn't repent for yet. Because you become more sensitive to the heart of God. He says, forgiveness is available. Who heals all of your disease, healing is available. He redeems your life from destruction. Why? Because now you become sensitive because you're in entering the other realm. You are able to hear more, see more, and obey more. He says he redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now listen, he satisfies your mouth. So now you're speaking good things. You're no longer speaking bad things. You're no longer speaking negative. You're not grumbling. You're not complaining. You're blessing. You're blessing. But I want to share with you that there's another benefit that's not here, but it's here. It's called victorious life. It's called victory. This is another benefit that's associated with blessing the Lord, all your soul and all that's within you. Bless his holy name. Why? Because the benefits of God. Listen, victory is a gift from God. It's not a reward. It's associated with a benefit. Why? Because your obedience is allowed victory. Has everybody got it? See, so many times we're looking for a reward from God when he's got benefits. That's a part of covenant. Rewards are not a part of covenant. Those things that are part of covenant are called benefits. Is everybody with me? So as you enter the other realm, as you begin to walk into the Spirit and begin to lose yourself, you begin to put on more of his character. And remember, the Lord is looking for his Son. He associates with the new creation in us, not self. So in this, it's very important that we understand to have a victorious life is to come to the end of yourself and begin to walk in the Spirit or in the other realm. And you begin to do that by praising and worshiping the Lord. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with what you think. It has nothing to do with what you believe. It's a reality. as you begin to praise and worship the Lord. That's why the enemy doesn't want people to praise him. He doesn't want you to praise the Lord because he knows it's going to remove you from this realm into another realm. And if he can keep you in this realm, you have a tendency to continue to look at you all the time and begin to grumble and complain. And grumbling and complaining is the beginning of failure. Where there's grumbling and complaining, that is a fruit of failure. Is everybody okay? That means you're going to fail. So in this, we want to live a victorious life. Is everybody with me? A victorious life starts out off with praise and worship, because what's coming out of your mouth is opening. You know, when you come in here, you turn on a light, there's a switch, right? In the switch, what you're doing is switching on. And this switch is actually opening the door for you to walk into. And as you begin to walk into this other realm, the Lord greets you with benefits. He said, these are yours. These are my promises. These are my covenant with you. And in my covenant with you, I covenant that you will have a victorious life. I covenant that you will overcome. I covenant that you'll make it all the way through. I covenant. That's his promises. And so many people don't even know that. So they're so busy trying to figure out what's what here, there, and trying to fix their own stuff and go back to their past and do this and do that. When the Lord says, what are you doing? You're supposed to be going forward, not backwards. Just start praising and worshiping me. I'll open a door. The Bible talks about the song of deliverance. What we need deliverance from is from ourselves. Amen? Because self is associated with darkness. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Victorious life. First Corinthians 15. In verse 50. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Let's speak this together. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What's swallowed up in victory? Death, because we're eternal. And remember, the enemy wants to keep you in a temporary realm so he can kill you. Because if you die in a temporary state, you stay in a temporary state. And verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who what? Who gives us the what? That's a gift, isn't it? Who gives, it's a part of the benefits. It's a part of covenant. Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he gives us the victory by cooperation. It was predestined for me and you to have victory. It was predestined for me and you to be in his image and likeness. These things were predestined for me and you because he expected us to come into covenant with him. And by coming into covenant with him, these things are available for me and you just by cooperation, just by starting off with praise and worship. Did you notice that the atmosphere in here changed? Did you notice that you had more peace? And that some clarity came. For some of us, some conviction came. Whatever came, it was from the Lord. Is everybody okay? Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. In verse 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3, let's speak it. Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything's available for me and you. Everything is associated with position as things get released as you are in position because these are part of the benefits. In other words, God is not holding things back from us. Everything is associated with his time as you cooperate in certain things. The word says once you've fulfilled the will of God, he releases the promise. So there are short pieces of God's will that we are to fulfill. One of the fulfilling of the will of God is praise and worship. As you're fulfilling the will of God, he says, here's my benefits. Here's my covenant. Here's my promises. They're available to you. But the thing we have to know is what they are. What they are. What is the benefits? What is covenant with the Lord? What are his promises? So we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he what? Chose us in him before what? The foundations of, listen, we are already in him before he even created the universe. He already predestined me and you for all of this. Of course, it wasn't his plan for me to be a drug addict, to be a fornicator, and all the other things I did. That wasn't his will for me. But he allowed things to turn to the good. He tried to rescue me so many times, but I kept rejecting. But you never know when that last rejection is up. But thank God somebody was praying for my blessed assurance. Somebody was praying for me. And somebody was praying for you or we would have died. That's what kept us alive. Somebody's been praying for us to allow the hand of God to come and grab us. But it didn't grab us until we cried out to him. Then he came. See, prayer, when you're praying for someone, you're not actually praying for their rescue. You're praying so that they come to the end of themselves and say, help. When you come to the end of yourself and you say, God, help me, now he comes in. Amen? And verse 4 again. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Well, if you're living a victorious life, you're going to live a holy life. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It means that you're going to repent and maintain connection with the Lord. Amen? You're going to live a blameless life. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. But you're going to be quick to repent and get back in. You're going to live a life that the Lord is always before you. You're going to live a life of relationship. You know that no matter what you do, it's not hidden from him. Amen. In verse 5, having predestined us to what? Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He chose us in him before the creation of the universe that we would have a victorious life, that we would be living in a holy and a blameless life in love with him. That was his predestined purpose for me and you. Ezekiel 18. Victorious life. Ezekiel 18. Is everybody there? Verse 20. Let's speak it. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all of his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be what? In other words, when an individual breaks covenant with the Lord, all of his treasures that have been stored up in heaven are removed. Because of the unfaithfulness, everybody say unfaithfulness, of which he is guilty, and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which is not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his way, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. So we see unrighteous acts are what we call unfaithfulness. When a person commits unrighteous acts, which are wicked acts, it's because they are unfaithful. They are faithless. Is everybody with me? He says, repent and turn, get yourself a new heart and a new spirit, and have a victorious life. Get back in position. So when a righteous individual breaks covenant with God, everything that has been stored for him in heaven has been removed. Does everybody understand that? But it's still available for that person to get saved and begin to build treasures again in heaven. Amen? Go to Romans 8. So even when you blow it, can you turn around and live a victorious life? Yes. Thank God. So is a victorious life a part of God's benefits? Is it a part of his covenant? Yes. So if you are a covenant keeper, will you live a victorious life? Amen. In Romans 8:1. Let's speak it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you are a believer and you're walking according to the flesh, is there condemnation? Yes. The only way out of it, I don't care if you say you know Jesus. I don't care if you tell me you read 40 scriptures a day. I don't care if you tell me you've been fasting for 40 days. If you're still in the flesh and doing the works of the flesh, there's condemnation. There is judgment. Has everybody got it? He said the only way out of condemnation is if you walk according to the Spirit. And again, we shared that about one of the ways of accessing into the other realm, into the Spirit, is what? Praise and worship. That's why we are a worshiping ministry. Because it's in the Spirit that is required. And verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? According to the Spirit. So the only way to live a victorious life is in the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Because living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, you are in relationship and fellowship with the Spirit. And that's where the benefits are, and that's where covenant is maintained. It's when we are in the flesh that the benefits and the covenant, are you listening, are not available to me and you. So everybody got it? When we are in the flesh, the benefits and covenant are not available until we get back in the Spirit. Because you cannot receive the things of the Spirit unless you're in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? In other words, is salvation associated with Spirit? Yes. In fact, if you think about salvation, it is to save us from the world. Salvation is to first save us from the world, because if you can't be saved from the world, you can't be saved from hell. Because anybody who's a friend of the world is going to hell. So the first part of salvation, everybody thinks, well, I got eternal life because I've been saved. No, you've been first saved from the world in the power and the bondage of the world. That's why the word says, come out from among them and do not be a friend of the world. So you first have been saved from the world. If you have been saved from the world, then you will be saved from hell. If you are not saved from the world, you are not saved from hell. Because those who are in the world die in the world and go to hell. Is everybody okay? Cool. Praise God. So a victorious life is in the Spirit, not the flesh. Because the flesh is a friend of the world. 1 John chapter 5. That's why you don't want to die in that condition, do you? First John chapter 5 and verse 4. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. Let's speak this together. For whatever is born of God overcomes the what? World. Now this is a state of being. To be born again is a state of being. It's associated with the tabernacle, and it's in living in one of the chambers. It's a state of being born again. He said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And then he explains to us, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. It is our what? Our faith. Now, is faith established in the flesh or in the Spirit? In the Spirit. Wow. And we talked about some of this already. So, to have victory to overcome the world, the victory is established by faith. Amen. And verse 5. For who is he who overcomes the world but he who what? Believes that Jesus is the what? Son of God. In other words, he who follows him. Amen. Because the word believe means to follow. Now again, the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Victory, again, remember, is a gift, not a reward. Amen. So in this, it's where there is faith. Remember, we talked about faith is associated with walking in the Spirit. Faith is spiritual sight. It's not assumption. So if you are walking by faith, it's because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So when God speaks, you see. Amen. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide you to all things and tell you things to come. So if you're in the Spirit, you're going to be able to see. And as you're seeing things, in other words, you're going to see fruits of people. You're going to see fruits of the voices that speak to you. You're going to sense certain things that are causing you to see spiritually. This is called faith. Is everybody all right? This is called faith. Remember, faith is not blind. Faith is to be able to see. And now listen, faith is not asking for what God promises. Faith is believing in the promises of God. It's not just asking for the promises. It's believing in the promises. Why? Because you're calling those things that are not as though they are. Because remember, faith is associated with the future. Because you're living from the future now. You're not living from the past. Because you're walking in the Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Again, faith is not asking for what God promises. It's believing in the promises of God. So when you're praying, what you're saying sometimes is, Lord, your word says. Because you're believing in the promises of God. Your word says. This is what your word says. Does everybody understand that? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we in the latter times? Some will depart from the faith. They will depart from the faith. In other words, they will get moved out of the Spirit. They will still proclaim to be believers, but they will be carnal believers. They will be Christians in the flesh. And then some will be, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to who? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Because they can't see. Does everybody get this? So they're going to take heed to the voice of the stranger because they're not seeing the fruit no more, the voice. And the voice of the stranger, these demons are going to give them another doctrine that's going to promote self. And it's going to move them out of faith into the flesh. And everything they do, they will try to give glory to God. They will say, this is God, this is God, this is God. But God will not see it as works for him. Because no works of the flesh are pleasing to God. Only works of the Spirit. That means he's looking for his own works through me and you. Is everybody okay? In verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and they know the truth. But because they believe to know the truth, they believe that Jesus is their Savior and their Lord, they know the truth, but they are deceived because they're no longer in the Spirit, they're in the flesh. And now, they started with the Spirit. Now they've begun and the works of the flesh. So now they're counting their own strength and not dependence on the Lord. Depart from the faith. They will be, take heed from deceiving spirits, doctrines, that they will fall from a victorious life. They will fall from a victorious life. One of the conditions of a victorious life is to let go of carnal security and self. One of the conditions of victorious life is to let go of carnal securities and self. And of course, grab hold of the truth and the spirit so that you can see, which is sight. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception. Amen? It's deception. The Bible says that we are to walk by faith. In other words, we are to walk by spiritual sight. Amen? So we are walking, in other words, we are not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from the victory because we're from the future. Because in the spirit, there is no space or time, is there? Hallelujah. There are three types of faith. There's little faith. Little faith hides when stuff comes. Big faith stands when stuff comes. But genuine faith overcomes all testing. Little faith, big faith, and genuine faith. And there's false faith. That's when an individual runs when it gets tough. They run and they fall. They run and they fall. That is called false faith. Again, little faith is when a person hides when trouble comes. It hides. Big faith stands. Genuine faith overcomes all testings. And false faith runs and falls. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we must maintain a praise or an attitude of gratefulness. You know, when you get to a point where you're no longer grateful, you're beginning to fail. Because when you're not thanking God for things, listen, you got to thank God in your weaknesses. You got to thank Him in your sicknesses. You know why? Because you know He's going to bring you through. I mean, again, what's the worst thing that can happen to anyone? You could die. And you could go home. Hallelujah. But see, if you are carnal, if you're in the flesh, you fear death. Because you still want to hold on to this world. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to drink anything tonight. Or do anything stupid. Amen. Because we're to maintain in this realm, even though we're not of this realm anymore. Because we want to rescue our brothers and sisters out of this realm. Amen. And get them in the spirit so they can live a victorious life and turn around and rescue somebody else. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. I charge you there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And let me tell you, we are there. We are at that time. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they will look for those that agree with them. There are individuals that are preaching from this Bible that it's okay for Jane to live with Mary. Hello? And for Frank to live with Joe. God did not create that. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Those are demons. Those are spirits. So he said that many will fall from the faith and many will turn their itching ears to their own doctrines. In other words, they will look for places. There are congregations right now that are promoting same-sex marriage. There are congregations that promote it's okay to have abortion. It's all of these other things. There are congregations that say, hey, once saved, always saved. You can go out and do anything you want. You've accepted Jesus. It's okay. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of blood on their hands. Much blood on their hands. And those are doctrines of demons. There's demon spirits that are speaking to individuals. And they're preaching their own doctrine and causing many people to be bound. Are you okay? In verse 4. And it says, and they will turn their ears away from the what? Truth, and be turned aside to fables, which are lies. But you be watchful in all things. Endure what? Afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now listen, this is powerful because Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Let me tell you something. Paul knew that his time was getting closer to go home. Why? Because he lived in the Spirit. He lived in the Spirit. There have been many men and women of God who've been at places, and they all of a sudden have said, buy my children, buy my wife, buy my husband. It's time for me to go home. Boom! And they were gone. And they knew they were going to die. But according to me and you, in the natural realm, they died. But they actually are, they live. They live, they're more alive now than they were here. So Paul knew that he was getting ready to departure because he was living in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? And look at verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the what? That's what got him home, didn't it? Amen? Because he maintained the faith. Because maintaining the faith is maintaining the Spirit. And he lived a victorious life. Didn't mean he went through stuff. Didn't mean he had, wasn't offended. Paul was a tough dude, man. You know? He was a what you might call a biker in those times. Except for he rode a horse. He was a horser. Hallelujah. In verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of what? Righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So grab hold of this, because Paul said, look, I fought the good fight of faith. I've kept it. I've had a victorious life in the Spirit because I lived from the future, not from the past. I've been fighting from victory, not for victory. Again, faith is to believe before the victory. Faith is to believe before the victory is manifested. Why? Because it's covenant. It's a benefit, and it's a promise. So victory is a guarantee if you're in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. victorious life. I get people that ask me sometimes, well, what are you going to do about this? I don't know, but I will. I might not know now, but I will. I'm just waiting for it to catch up to me. Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the what? In other words, so we all get in the Spirit, man. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or the fullness of the anointing, that we should no longer be children, I said children or immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or whatever somebody says, by offense, by all the other foolishness, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So we there's that place where God is trying to bring us to the unity of faith, where everybody becomes like-minded. We become like-minded, like-willed, and like faith. Why? Because it's victory. It's victory. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So is the enemy trying to get you out of position? Yeah, it's his job. You know, when you sense that push, when you sense the push, it is very important. When you find yourself anxious, that's push. In other words, when something comes to you and it's in your spirit to like, oh, I'll put it off till later, I'll find it. And all of a sudden it comes, oh, I need to do this. And it keeps pushing, 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 pushing. The next thing you know, you're phoning, texting, faxing, doing everything to find out what you need to find out. That's called push. And the purpose of that is to get you out of the spirit and into the flesh. Why? Because when the enemy can get you out of the spirit into the flesh, he can have an impartation to you that you don't even know what's happening. He has planted a seed. And next thing you know, you get in the spirit, but the seed is still there. It's called a corruptible seed. So you go out and doing all of these things, and you're in the spirit. Yeah. Uh-huh. Glory to God. Yeah, and all of a sudden, poof. And you're like, I don't know what just happened. Well, the enemy just watered that seed, and it's beginning to grow. It's beginning to root. And one of the things you need to do is get rid of it, pull it out by its roots so it does not blossom and promote fruit. That's why we have those bedtime prayers, breaking every curse off, commanding every corruptible seed and fiery dart to wither and die, and loosing yourself from every emotional attachment of people, places, and things. That's our responsibility, to constantly tear those out every night, because you have no idea what you've picked up during the day. Remember, that's association with prayer, isn't it? You cannot have a victorious life without a prayerful life. It's impossible. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means you don't walk around all day and, you know, you repeat the prayer. No, that's repetitive foolishness. Does everybody understand that? You know, people repeating the prayer all day long. Now, there's a time when you first begin where you must repeat prayers to break things off, because it's increasing your faith. And you're penetrating. because you must be sowing. So you're speaking certain prayers to sow in the spirit, because God doesn't move without you sowing. Amen? But then there's a part where you pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is communion. You're inviting the Holy Spirit. You're always asking him, what do I do here? You know, you know what? And when a sense of lust comes, oh, Lord, I just pray for that sister. I pray for that brother. I pray for this person. That's called praying without ceasing. When a desire comes, oh, no, I give that to you, Lord. No, that's yours. I don't want that. I want your will, not mine. Because, see, your desire will speak louder than the voice of God if you allow it to. And then what happens is that desire begins to push. It will not lead. It always pushes. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Victory. Remind them of these things. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Man, when somebody starts babbling, just take your sock off, simply, gently, stick it in their mouth. You be nice about it. You say, can you please be quiet? You may have to tone it up a little bit. Can you please shut up? If that doesn't work, depart. No sense of getting caught in a ring. Amen? Because that's all they're going to do is trip over their tongue and blind themselves by their own lips, right? And verse 17. And their message was spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have what? Strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. You know what? They didn't get it. These people were trying to say that the resurrection was already past. In other words, the rapture. Well, it's not true. Is everybody okay? They were out of time because they were out of spirit. And they overthrew some of the faith. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for what? Dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In other words, your submission to the Holy Spirit is what will establish you in the Spirit. It says, but flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who what? Call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. So make sure you hang with those that are right with God. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God will perhaps grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So, if you're not in the spirit following the Lord, you're in the flesh following the devil. Victory is established by submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit. Grab hold of this. That breaks the shell of carnality and cracks the soul of carnality. The Holy Spirit is trying to break. That's why the Bible says take out the stony heart and put in the heart of flesh, because the Holy Spirit is trying to break us. He's trying to break us from the carnal securities. He's trying to break the shell of carnality and crack the soul of carnality and release the spirit of the man to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit as sons and daughters. Sons of daughters, Remember, victory is our death to self. Victory is our death to self. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now this is very powerful because there's no way David could have overcome Goliath in the flesh. And everybody has Goliaths in their past. They have giants in their past. But what happens is they begin to see carnally and not spiritually. David did not see Goliath carnally. Does everybody understand that? The Spirit of the Lord was on David. He saw Goliath as just something in the way of God that it was about to get removed. He did not see Goliath as a giant. He just looked at him as something in the way. You got to go. Does everybody understand that? In verse 41, so the Philistine came before David and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Well, he was demonized. So he confessed he was a dog. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear. In other words, carnal weapons. And with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Because David was in the Spirit. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied today. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So the Philistine said to David, I'm going to give your body to the birds. David said, I'm going to give your whole army to the birds. Hallelujah. Verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their companion was dead, they fled. So David used the weapon, the carnal weapon, after he had already killed the Philistine, he used his own weapon to take off his head. Does everybody understand this? I'm telling you, this is walking in the Spirit. Because the world is trying to tell you a different story. But being in the Spirit, you see things differently. You don't see the giant Philistine. You see something in the way of the will of God. And that all of heaven is behind you. And by faith, you command that mountain to move in the name of Jesus. Because you are in the Spirit and you have authority. And all dominion has been given to you. You are not alone. Does everybody understand this? So that's why it's so important that you start in the worship. You get in the Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us pray in tongues. Why? Because praying in tongues increases your most holy faith, which helps you get in the Spirit. But so many people reject it. They pray in the tongues, you know. Oh, they're at the service. They get the goosebumps. And then that, and then they don't pray in the Spirit no more. Oh, I was only at the service. No, that's a gift from God. It's a gift so that you can get in the Spirit more. It increases your faith. If it's increasing your faith, it's opening the door to get into the Spirit. Romans 8. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that when you praise and worship the Lord, He ambushes your enemies. Romans 8. Victorious life is only in the Spirit. That's why there's a lot of people who can quote the Word, quote Scriptures, they know the page numbers, but they don't live a victorious life because they're still in the flesh. They're not in the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? To fear. Satan's power is what? Fear. His weapon is deception. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So He says, listen, the Spirit's always trying to tell you. He's always trying to encourage you. Man, you're a child of the Most High God. You're an offspring. You're eternal. Get in the Spirit. Verse 28. And we know that all things, what? Work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Are you called according to His purpose? For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Live a victorious life. Done in the Spirit. Victory is overcome with faith, isn't it? Faith. Faith is to be able to see. Remember, victory is a gift, not a reward, because it's associated with a promise or a benefit because we're covenant children. Because we're covenant. It's already been predestined for me and you to have a victorious life. Listen, your trials, the Bible says, count it all joy when you go through trials. Why? Because that's just building you up. It's exposing more of you so Christ can have more of you. Amen? So it's to get you out of the way and get more of Christ in you. We're to count it all joy, no matter what. I didn't say it would feel good. Didn't say it would look good. Didn't say it smelled good. But we're going to count it all joy. Because one thing we don't like is our own flesh cooking. Hello. But there is victory. We must be careful what comes out of your mouth. You must be careful not to be pushed, but to be led. And you must be careful to continue to sow so the door opens up to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed grow and bear fruit for Your glory. Let it be protected by the blood of the Lamb. And grant us revelation. Grant us the impartation and the understanding that we may live a victorious life for Your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.